Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we give you all praise and glory, because you alone are worthy. As we come now, Lord, to hear from you, we pray, loving Father, that you would speak to us in a very special way today. Use even me, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O God, my strength and my redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
You are blessed. You knew that. How many of you today know that you are blessed?
Amen.
And tell your neighbor, say, I am blessed. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus had just called fishermen, Peter, Andrew, James, and John, to leave their nets behind and follow him.
Yes.
Their nets meant everything to them. Fishing was their profession, their way of making a living, their very livelihood. And verse 20 of Matthew 4 says that Peter and Andrew straightway left their nets and followed Jesus. And verse 21 says that James and John left their father Zebedee immediately and followed Jesus. This was not a temporary call for help, but a permanent call for service. Their service began immediately as a great multitude followed them. And many who followed them were afflicted with a variety of illnesses and diseases. And Jesus healed many. But as the crowds began to grow in large proportions, Jesus went upon a mountainside and sat down and began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." A sure reminder that we are called to have a spirit of submission to the Holy Spirit. The poor in spirit are those who consciously depend on God, not on themselves. Blessed here means happy or fortunate. And the old laws laid down by the scribes and Pharisees dealt with the external. But the qualities Jesus mentions in these Beatitudes deal with the internal. These qualities may only come about as a result of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. So submission to the Holy Spirit is the first attitude in this passage that receives God's blessings. Secondly, in verse 4, Jesus said, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." I can tell you from personal experience, having lost both my parents, that God is there to give comfort to his children in their time of sorrow. He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The question is frequently asked today, in reaction to many disastrous events throughout the world, how could a loving God allow these things to happen? Why does a young baby have to die? Why do innocent people perish? This is never an easy thing for any of us to accept as human beings. However, we must remember that God is indeed God and master of all.
Yes.
He's not here to serve us and give us what we want when we want it and how we want it.
Yes.
But rather he exists so that we may serve him.
Yes.
And fulfill his purpose.
Yes.
For us.
Yes.
Furthermore, God sees the bigger picture.
Yes.
Isaiah 55 verse 8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Many times the Lord uses these events to fulfill a greater purpose. Many may be killed now, but thousands more may be saved throughout the world as a result of positive changes which may come about from some of these disasters.
Yes.
In Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, Jesus continues his Sermon on the Mount with these words, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meek is translated from the Greek word praise, which means gentle, not weak. Meekness is often misunderstood for weakness, but it really means gentle. One can be very powerful physically and yet is as mild as a baby. That's meekness. And one can only be meek if he has submitted himself to the authority of Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Hence the attitude of salvation. The Bible says, "Unless you become as a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." And then there's the attitude of satisfaction. Verse 6 of chapter 5 of Matthew. Jesus says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Seeking after righteousness ought to be our constant goal. Many of us get caught up in material pursuits.
Preach!
Things we want, not necessarily things we need.
Yes, yes.
If we have our priorities in order, God will supply all our needs.
Yes.
Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you."
Yes.
God will supply all your needs, my friend, according to his riches in glory. So seek always to glorify God in all you do.
Yes.
Finally, brethren, Paul says in to the Philippians, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things." So those who hunger and thirst after righteousness surely will be satisfied. And next, the Lord encourages an attitude of sympathy. In verse 6 he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." He calls for us to be unselfish to those in need. You know, in Matthew 25, the Lord himself reminds us that as we show kindness to one of the least of his children, we do it unto him. For those who have attended to the needs of others will hear these words, "Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Those who have experienced the mercy of God graciously extended to them through the forgiveness of their sins have a duty to extend grace and mercy to others, even as it was extended to them. Then there is sanctification. Verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." The pure in heart are those who are inwardly clean from sin through faith in God. The pure in heart are sanctified, meaning set apart from the world and consecrated to God.
Amen.
This is not an instantaneous event, but is a lifelong process which completes itself when we see Christ face to face at his coming.
Yes.
Hebrews 10:14 says, "For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified." And verse 17, "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." In verse 9 of Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." My friends, you are blessed when you can turn an argument into a peaceful conversation.
Preach.
Respond to an insult with a compliment rather than a harsh word.
Yes.
Dispel a brewing conflict. Return a frown with a smile.
Yes.
Give forgiveness even when it may not be deserved.
Yes.
Give love for hate.
Yes.
Kindness for selfishness. Encouragement to the discouraged, or comfort to the depressed.
Yes.
For in doing so, you model the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And he says, "You shall be called the children of God." No wonder the peacemakers are the soul winners in the army of God. We were all shocked and saddened by the recent shootings in Dallas this past week. But let us maintain peace, remembering the words of Martin Luther King Jr., who said, "Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that."
Yes.
We must learn to live together as brothers or perish together as fools. End of quote. And in verse 10, Jesus continues. He says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of heaven belongs only to those who are willing to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ, even in the face of danger. The Bible says in Matthew 8:38, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this sinful and adulterous generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." These are the days when the Lord needs a few good men. A few good men who will stand up boldly and declare that they are the priest of the home. Declare that they are a follower of Jesus Christ. Stand firm in the face of confrontation and danger as Paul did. Paul declared boldly to the Romans in verse 16 of Romans chapter 1, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so, my friends, we must stand up for Jesus as soldiers of the cross. Lift high the royal banner. It must not suffer loss. Stand up in the strength of Jesus Christ our Lord, knowing that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Stand in the knowledge that you are blessed. Blessed when you are poor in spirit. Blessed when you mourn the loss of a loved one. Blessed when you're meek and mild. Blessed when you hunger and yearn after the things of God. You are blessed when you can turn conflict into peace. You are blessed even if you die for the cause of Christ. For if you possess these qualities, you will inherit the kingdom of heaven. You will be comforted when you mourn. You will be filled to satisfaction. You will be extended mercy when mercy is needed, and you will be called the children of God. Now, I did not say that standing up always for the things of God is easy. It is not. But God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, we stand not in our own strength, but in the power which God alone can give. In verse 11, Jesus said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." God calls us to give of ourselves sacrificially for the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must remember that God himself gave us the greatest gift of all, that of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, so that we might be forgiven and have everlasting life. We must also be aware that for us to be used effectively for the Lord, we must be clean. God is a holy God who cannot use a dirty vessel. And so we must ask the Spirit of the living God to fall afresh on us. Ask the Holy Spirit to melt you, melt away that hard crust of sin which encapsulates you and bring you to a point of surrender, a point of brokenness and repentance before God. Then ask the Holy Spirit to mold you, shape you into the kind of person he intends you to be, one who is obedient and submissive to the will of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with an insatiable desire to study the Word of God and do that which he has commanded you to do. And then you can be used effectively for God. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We as Christians are not strong of our own, but by the power of the Lord who lives in us. You know, Psalm 84 verse 5 says, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them." And Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." God gives strength, my friend, to those who put their trust in him. You might be here this morning and you might be going through a difficult time. Many are. Know that God has not forsaken you. You might be praying for some time now and you're wondering why God does not answer. Be assured that he hears your prayers and he will answer. His answer is not always what you expect or when you expect it, but be faithful and patient and he will answer. The last verse of Psalm 27 says, "Wait upon the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." In fact, sometimes when we are concerned that God has not heard our prayer, he has already answered it.
Preach!
That's right.
When I first moved to Florida many years ago, I started visiting different churches in the area looking for a church home. Someone gave me directions to their church, but they made an error in the directions. At one point, they told me to make a right, but what they meant to say was make a left. So I kept driving around in circles, not able to find the church to which they were directing me. But every time I circle around, I passed a little Baptist church, and because it was close to 11 o'clock, I decided that if I go around one more time and I'm not able to find the one I'm looking for, I would stop and worship in this little church for that Sunday. Well, I did. And I never came out for 4.5 years. I felt the moving of the Holy Spirit in that place and knew that was where the Lord wanted me to be. After visiting for a few Sundays, my wife and I decided to join their membership. The following Wednesday, I went to choir rehearsal. And after rehearsing the music for Sunday, the person closing in prayer was pleading with the Lord to send someone to help with the Christmas cantata. After we were dismissed, I inquired as to what the specific needs were and the name of the cantata mentioned in the prayer. I was told that the name was Christ is Born, which happened to be the same cantata I did the previous year in New York.
Amen.
And I knew it from memory, from cover to cover. It just so happens that I am a tenor baritone. And so I sang both the tenor and baritone solos for the cantata. And it was a great success. My friends, God had already answered the prayer of the person praying. Sometimes he does that. So trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. In all your ways, I said, all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Don't lose patience, my friend. Wait on the Lord. Wait, for they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen.
So let your light shine.
Yes.
Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Know that because you're a child of the King, you can stand your ground through whatever circumstances come your way. My friend, do you have such a light to shine before men that God may be glorified? Or are you still walking in darkness? You know, 1 John chapter 1, verse 5 says, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we speak not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin.
Preach, Pastor.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Yes.
But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Yes.
Perhaps today you're carrying a heavy burden. You are discouraged because things are not going the way you hoped. You might be having financial difficulties and those bills keep piling up without a solution in sight. Perhaps you're on the verge of losing your home or your job. Maybe you're caught up in the sinful pleasures of this world. Maybe you are in a miserable relationship. Maybe your children have disappointed you. Perhaps your concern is for your health. Help is at your door. All you have to do is open the door and accept it. Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and will sup with him and he with me." If you're still walking in darkness, I invite you today to step out of that darkness into God's marvelous light. Step out from your seat today during the singing of the invitational hymn and come saying, Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me, fill me, and use me to your glory. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Amen. Let us pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for speaking to us today. And now, oh precious Lord, I pray for anyone within the sound of my voice who has not accepted your free gift of salvation, still walking in darkness, Lord, may they open the door and let you come in. So have your own way now, Holy Spirit. Have your own way. Give them courage and wisdom to walk this aisle today. And we give you all praise and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Our hymn of invitation number 244, Spirit of the Living God, fall afresh on me. Fresh.